morning and welcome to The Breakfast Show on Faith FM with Scaffy and Lawson. This is the best table for you to start your day with positive and uplifting thoughts. You're listening across Australia on 87.6, 87.8 or 88. You also can listen to us through our Faith FM app. You can chat to us at any time by sending a message to 0491-064-669. Today is June the 7th. 7th of June.
The 7th of June.
Yes. We're actually having a Monday. Next Monday is going to be a holiday in most of Australian states. Namely, all of them except in WA and Queensland, which is going to be King's birthday. However, we will be here. Well, I will be here, Lawson. We're going to have a special program, a special episode for the listeners as well. And I want to ask you this question, Lawson. Mm-hmm. When was King Charles actually born?
Okay, let me take a guess. I'm going to guess sometime in the 1940s.
Yes, 1948, November 14th. So why are we celebrating his birthday on June? Do you know this story?
Well, isn't it like not his birthday? Like, nor was it the Queen's actual birthday?
But no, exactly. So what happened is that King George II was the first English king to celebrate the king's birthday holiday. That's back in 1748. Mm. Then Edward VII, who later reigned from 1901 to 1910, moved the date to June. Mm-hmm. You know why?
Why?
Because June was summer in the UK. It was better weather because otherwise it would often fall during rainy season.
And like it is right now.
Like it is here in Australia. So we're following the UK schedule on that one.
Absolutely.
And in today's show, we're going to be talking about the return of an extinct species to Portugal. We're going to talk about robo-debt. The referrals will not be pursued by the Federal Corruption Watchdog. More on this later today. We're going to have an interview with Andrew Jasper about a different kind of health retreat. And our Bible study will be on Satan's final deception to this world. According to the Bible, this world, this show, Lawson, is promising a lot of really great content information. You have to stay tuned.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
Lawson, how are your push-ups going?
Bro, I'm so sore. I'm so cooked. Like, I'm keeping up with them. I'm trying to. Dude, my arms are so sore, okay, man. How are you going?
I had
you
a breakthrough. Yeah, first day I could only do 70.
Yeah.
Yesterday I did 90.
Okay.
So I'm hopefully today I'm going to be a little bit better than yesterday.
Okay.
But I haven't done any yet. So I will do during the breaks here.
I haven't done any today either.
While the songs are going up, I will just, you know, lay down 20.
Okay.
So.
Did you do 20 just then?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Yes. For the listener that may not know what we're talking about, Lawson and I were forced to participate. We're voluntarily forced to participate in a push-up challenge.
Yes.
It's called a 3,000 push-up challenge.
Wow.
And our goal is to do 3,249 push-ups till the end of the month to raise awareness about the number of suicides in Australia, which is 3,249 a year, which is way too much.
Mm-hmm.
One would be already too much.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that Faith FM has a role to play here because we are here to offer hope. We're here to offer grace, not of course from ourselves, but from God through His words. And so Lawson and I are doing this not because we want to become stronger, even though that's going
although
to be
that's a, like a cool side
a cool
effect.
Side effect.
Yeah.
But we're doing this to raise this awareness and also to ask all of our friends and listeners to consider making a donation to Faith FM. So you can go there, faithfm.com.au. You can make a donation and support this radio, who is a non-for-profit radio, who is sponsored and backed by the listeners. And we want to encourage you to help Lawson and I make the most of our push-up journey so that we can bring hope and you can be a part of it to those who have none.
Absolutely. Yeah. Guys, get it and do some push-ups as well if you feel like it. If you're not very adept in doing push-ups, you can do some raised push-ups. You can do some push-ups on your knees. There's plenty of ways that you can get involved as well to get fit and healthy and get in some push-ups. Hey, we also have to promote our end of financial year giveaway. We are giving away an iPad. Head to faithfm.com.au and you click on the splash banner at the top. You know, it's got the iPad there and whatnot, and you can do a number of things to get in for the draw for this iPad. You can sign up for faithfm.com. You can download our app, and you can even put our show's code word in. So for the
show, it's going to give you an extra entry.
That's right. Our special code word is the word honey. So 0491-064-669. That's our number. Faithfm.com.au. That is our website. So, you know, head to those. But right now, you're going to need to use that number because you're going to need to answer some quiz questions here. First quiz question of the day. What did King Arad the Canaanite do to Israel while they were journeying through the promised land? So Israel journeying through the promised land. We're talking about, you know, post-Exodus here, and they're making their way. What did Arad the Canaanite do to them? Did he A, kill 840 Israeli soldiers? B, he took some Israelite prisoners? C, he stole their supply of grain? Or D, he provided Israel with food? 0491-064-669. Of course, our prize for this week, we have all of these Roger Morneau prayer books, The Incredible Power of Prayer, Incredible Answers to Prayer, When You Need Incredible Answers to Prayer, and More Incredible Answers to Prayer. All of these powerful testimonies of people having their prayers answered, information about how we can come to God with our prayers. We want to give you these books absolutely for free. They're going to be drawn today at around 8:45 a.m. So again, that number, 0491-064-669. And that question, what did King Arad the Canaanite do to the Israelites while they were journeying to the promised land? Was it A, he killed 840 Israelite soldiers? B, he took some Israelite prisoners? C, he stole their supply of grain? Or D, he provided Israel with food?
Lawson, thank you very much for that. Now, you mentioned to me that there is a species that is making a comeback in Portugal. What are you talking about?
We're talking about here the European bison. Now, bison have a storied history of extinction all around the world. I think of the United States, in terms of wild bison. And I think the reason is because they're a relatively easy target. And for many people, they were good eating. You know, people didn't see them in the same, light of, say, horses, for example, where it's like, okay, no, these are used for transportation, or cows, where it's like, okay, we got to keep a good cow population because of their milk. No, people were like, oh, wild bison, yum.
Free game.
Yeah, that's right. And they were like hunted to extinction all over the place in America, in Europe. Now they're seeing that wild bison are actually one of the keys to a really sustainable ecosystem, because they fight off invasive species, and you know, their style of grazing actually promotes plant growth and flourishing. They're not like a massive herd of cattle or whatnot, but it actually their style of grazing actually enables plants to grow, and they move around quite a lot of dirt and nutrients and whatnot. And so having wild bison in your ecosystem is amazing. And a group that is called Rewilding Europe, they are a group of people who are trying to reestablish wild ecosystems, not necessarily like, you know, letting things run wild, but getting ecosystems and forestry and whatnot in Europe back to its original state, at least as far as we can track it, you know, and enabling local species and whatnot in various forests to be able to flourish. And one of the tools that they've seen is the best to do this is the bison. And so now there is a small herd of bison in a large valley in Portugal. It's the first time that they've been there, they reckon, since like the Ice Age. I don't know if like I'll go back that far, but yeah, they reckon that this is a long time since these European bison have been there. They know they've been there before. They've found bison fossils in these areas, like bison bones and whatnot. And now, yeah, they've got these bison on a 250,000 acre land, you know, conservation, and these bison just like running around and eating grass and, you know, keeping the land safe from invasive species and just living their best life. I love this story so much because, I mean, it's putting things back in their right place. It kind of reminds me of a little bit of an Exodus story here, you know, of the bison who were hunted to extinction in this area and now get to come back home. But yeah, it's awesome that these bison, have this land and they're just living their best life and they're not at threat of being hunted anymore. You know, they're a protected species and they can just go about blessing the land and having a great time. Like,
that's amazing. Awesome. I'm reading here, Lawson, that the last wild European bison was shot in the Caucasus in 1927.
Yeah.
And at that time, there were only 54 European bisons left alive, and all of them in captivity.
Mm.
So it's quite amazing that in Portugal, they have found fossils.
Yeah.
But they had no idea when was the last time that one was actually seen alive.
That's right. Yeah.
And I'm wondering here, why does the bison help with the environment? And my theory here is that, you know, some species of animals, they eat the plants all the way through their roots.
Mm.
Particularly the, you know, domestic breeds, goats, cattle, for example. European goats are known to have caused an extinction of yam crops of the aboriginals in Australia because they would eat
everything
and all the way through the very ground, so they wouldn't give the chance of the plant to return. But other species like the bison, as you were telling me, they don't eat it all the way through, so they allow the environment to regenerate.
Yeah, they're a sustainable animal. Like, this is, dude, I would love to own a bison if I had a farm and chuck it on there. Like, you know, because people often say, like, oh, yeah, get some goats or whatever it may be. They're good lawnmowers. But the bison are actually going to enable the, you know, the natural land there to keep flourishing and whatnot. So I think this is awesome. This is a really cool story.
Yeah, it's great news.
I love stories of animal conservation and environmental conservation as well, because this was our original job given us by God was, you know, natural, you know, conservation. He made us gardeners to take
care. And didn't we speak about it just this week, Lawson, about that, you know, in the World Environment Day, it was June 5th, and on Monday, we spoke about the Bible having principles of conservation, of maintaining, of, yes, we are allowed to extract things from nature, but at a rate that is actually sustainable.
And what's amazing is that the bison somehow understand this too. So praise God.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
So Lawson, Psalm 69, what heavenly book did the writer want his enemies blotted out of?
Yeah, absolutely. If you know the answer here, 0491-064-669. Again, that question in Psalm 69. What heavenly book did the writer want his enemies blotted out of? If you know the answer, you go into the draw. We have our Roger Morneau prayer books. We have been promoting them all week. They will be a huge blessing to you. We want to give them to you for free. We're spinning the wheel today towards the end of the show. So again, 0491-064-669 in Psalm 69. What heavenly book did the writer want his enemies blotted out of? 0491-064-669.
We had a message here from James. And I think he was giving us a feedback. Thank you, James, for your feedback. He said, I like your interviews with Justin Lohmann and also the ones with creation scientists.
Mm.
Thank you very much, James. If you have any feedback as well that you would like to give it to us, please do so in 0491-064-669 so that Lawson and I and Shell and all of those who are involved in producing The Breakfast Show, we can really make the best program that we can, and we can attend all of your needs. 0491-064-669. Lawson.
Yes.
I have a word for you.
Okay.
Okay. I like words. You know that. And I know that you like words as well.
Yeah. I like saying words.
Yes.
You know.
So the word that I have is algocracy.
Algocracy.
Do you know what that word means? Algocracy.
I have no idea. Does that have something to do with, like, former President Al Gore, or no?
No. And Al Gore was never a president.
He was a presidential candidate.
Candidate, who
wanted to be president.
Yes, no, algocracy. So think of democracy, right?
Okay.
So this word, crassy, means it's a suffix for government.
Okay.
and yes. algo from algorithm. So algocracy is a government by algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
So it is an alternative form of government or social ordering where the usage of computer algorithms is applied to regulations, law enforcement, and generally any aspects of everyday life, such as transportation or land registration. It's letting the robots rule.
Okay.
Okay? Letting algorithms rule. Why is that important? Because yesterday, the National Anti-Corruption Commission of Australia, NAC for short, has announced it will not pursue a corruption investigation concerning six public officials involved with the RoboDebt scheme.
Okay.
Have you heard about the RoboDebt scheme? Do you remember that?
Tell us about it.
Yes. So this is what happened here. The RoboDebt scheme was an initiative of the federal government to try to save recover some money that had been paid in excess to certain Centrelink beneficiaries.
Okay.
So the idea here is that a Centrelink beneficiary needs to report an income to Centrelink so that they will receive their benefit.
Yeah.
So what the government started to do is, okay, let's cross the data here between the Australian Tax Office and the Centrelink to see if these two incomes are matching. Mm. So let's say you go to Centrelink, you say that you earn $40,000 a year, but then in your ATO statement, it states there that you earn $60,000 a year. Mm. You may not be entitled to the full benefit that you were getting from Centrelink.
Yeah.
So the computer algorithm would match these two data. And if they realized, if they noticed that you have been given more than you should, it would issue a debt notice to you. Said, no, Lawson, you're owing $200 back to Centrelink because that was paid in excess to you. Mm. Now, this was done manually. So they had a team at Centrelink that would be investigating these discrepancies. They had the algorithm pointing to them who would be the higher risk, and the most important cases.
Mm.
And they'd be reviewing one by one by hand. And that was the process. However, it became automated.
Mm.
So, and the robot could issue like 20,000, messages per week.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So what happened there? The problem was it was discovered that a RoboDebt issued 400,000 false debt notices.
Oh no.
And it took about $721 million wrongfully from Australian residents.
$721 million.
Yeah, so that was a massive scandal. The media called it the RoboDebt. You know, I think it's an allusion to RoboCop.
Yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
RoboDebt.
That's
so
intense.
You walk up home one day and you can open your mailbox and there's like a debt of, you know, sometimes it could be a small amount. Sometimes it can be a really big amount.
Yeah.
Thousands of dollars.
Mm.
So, and now a lot of people were upset because the NAC, the National Anti-Corruption Commission, said that they're not going to be investigating this any further. Why? Well, because there had been already a royal commissioning investigating it. And what they discovered is that there was, it was really a massive fault. The government restituted back and corrected some of these wrong debts already, but they haven't really found any evidence for corruption itself.
Sure.
But I'll tell you some of the damages that it has caused on people's lives. Some welfare recipients committed suicide after receiving automated debt recovery notice for significant sums. Debt notices were issued to deceased people. Issuing debt notices that were to disability pensioners. And there were some revelations that debt notices were issued to 663 vulnerable people. So people with complex needs like mental illness and abuse victims who died soon after. So it caused a lot of people said, hey, I was in a very difficult period of my life.
Yeah.
And on top of everything, I received a letter saying you're owing the government for a money that I don't have. Mm-hmm. So it causes significant stress there. That being said, according to the rail commissioner, she said, look, it was a gross, I'm not quoting here, but she basically said, look, there was a lot of incompetence, a lot of, you know, there is a cowardice, but there was no corruption.
Yeah, it's one of those cases where no one was trying to take advantage here.
That's right.
It was this robot just went haywire and has, yeah, unfortunately done something absolutely terrible.
Exactly. And it brings back that whole idea of a human versus robot. So we're in the age of AI now. But you know, Lawson, that AI often spits out whatever it learned in the internet. And could be true, could not be true. Mm-hmm. So, you know, human supervision is still necessary.
Yes.
Over algorithms and robotic decisions. Now, I want to bring from something in the Bible here. Mm-hmm. And there's a passage here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 21 that I think speaks to that. It says this, the Apostle Paul saying here, "For we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men." Mm-hmm. So, a Christian, in the Christian worldview, it is not enough to do what is right in the sight of the Lord, even though absolutely this is fundamental, but also even taking pains to do what is right in the eyes of others. Mm-hmm. If that principle has been taken into account in that robo-debt situation, people could ask a very simple question. What could go wrong here? Or what if we're charging people debts that do not belong to them? And, you know, instead of saying, oh, yeah, they just complain and we will fix it, we should say, you know, we need to do what is right. We should, as a government, we should never tell people that they are owing us something that they are actually not owing. Mm. Because this can bring all kinds of dramas, all kinds of side effects, negative side effects. Mm. So, you know, I hope that the officials and people in our government can really abide by that saying here. We're taking pains to do what is right, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
Joe, it's Kathy and Lawson. Our phone number is 0491-064-669. Have you been affected by the robo-debt? Listener, we would like to know if you had received an unlawful, if you were among the 400,000 people who received an unlawful debt notice from the government. Let us know, you know, how was it for you? 0491-064-669. And Lawson, what is the next quiz question of the show?
What did Eli accuse Hannah of being when he saw her in the temple? If you know the answer to this one, 0491-064-669. Again, that question. What did Eli accuse Hannah of being when he saw her in the temple? 0491-064-669. Our prize for this week, which we will be spinning the wheel for in a very short amount of time. Very soon we'll be spinning that wheel. We have these Roger Morneau prayer books we want to give to you for free. So again, 0491-064-669 is the number to text. And again, that question, what did Eli,
the high priest.
Eli, the high priest, accused Hannah of being when he saw her in the temple.
Yeah, so Hannah was Samuel's mother, just, you know, to be, give a little bit of a context, and she was praying hard at the temple, and when Eli saw her,
what did he think
she was doing? 0491-064-669. Now we have Andrew Jasper with us on the line. Welcome to the Breakfast Show, Andrew.
Good to hear from you guys.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to have you with us. So, Andrew, I would like for you to tell us a little bit about Cedar Vale Yarra Ranges. So, this is a health retreat that is going to be inaugurated soon, or if it hasn't been already. Can you tell us a little bit about what's happening in that space?
So, just imagine you're landing in the bustling Melbourne airport. You're driving east on the M80 Ring Road, just skirting the north side of the city. You're passing through those rolling hills of kangaroo grounds, descending into that lush green fields of the Yarra Valley. It's breathtaking, and your stress and those tight muscles just begin to relax. And then you kind of wind up the magical black spur where the sun bursts through those dense gum trees and the The Lyrebird kind of greets your passage, and you crest that summit, and in minutes you arrive at Cedarvale Yarra Ranges. It's real scenic, it's quiet, it's calm. And in some ways, you know, nature is already at work and the healing has already begun. Guests can really expect a warm welcome, tasty guilt-free foods, soothing treatments, evidence-based lectures, and lifestyle medicine that really boosts self-efficacy, and all in the light of finding a real lasting source of strength and inspiration to heal and to grow. And that's the key up here in the mountains.
That sounds very peaceful, Andrew. So a health retreat. So how does it look like for the guests? So you mentioned about having some amazing, delicious, healthy foods, quiet and calmness, being surrounded by nature. How is it? What should a client expect going to a health retreat?
Yeah, they're going to come in with all manner of types of illnesses and ailments, possibly, or just stresses. And they're going to be given an opportunity to really kind of de-throttle the high pace of life and enjoy more of that pace of nature. They're going to be immersed in nature's realms in this area. And Cedarvale has a series of simple lifestyle remedy interventions to help ward off that stress, that burnout, and some of the chronic killers of today. And that's what they've done for over 30 years.
Well, that's incredible. Look, I've been myself in a couple of health retreats similar to these ones in Brazil. And I went there because I was in some pretty stressful periods of my life. I just needed a little bit to decompress and relax. And you know what? Yeah. I still remember these stayings of mine as if it were yesterday. They were so good. I could really come back to my normal self after, you know, being surrounded by just this quiet calmness, nature.
Yes.
So I'm a big fan of that model. But you mentioned about Cedarvale. Cedarvale, who is Cedarvale? Is this a brand that already exists, or is something that is brand new, just inaugurating?
Yeah, so for over 30 years, Cedarvale Health and Lifestyle Retreat have utilized that latest evidence-based interventions that lifestyle medicine has to offer. They operate as a not-for-profit registered charity in Australia, and they now have two locations. Their parent campus is in New South Wales in the rainforest of the Kangaroo Valley, and their soon-to-open facility here in Victoria is up at the Yarra Ranges. And so those are the two locations that'll be second location will be opening up. It's located about an hour and a half northeast of Melbourne CBD. And the bookings for their first program at the Yarra Ranges is going to be Sunday, the 21st of July, a little more than 6 weeks away. And those bookings are already open on their webpage.
Okay, so Sunday, the 21st of July is going to be the first cohort of the program. Now, I wanted to understand something here with you, Andrew, because usually when we think about going to a place to recover our health, the immediate word that comes to our mind is hospitals or perhaps a health clinic. What is the difference between a hospital and a health center, and what are the problems that this health retreat is actually aiming to help solve in the clients' lives?
Well, you know, Joseph, you and I know that if we've got a heart attack or a broken arm, we're going to hightail it to the emergency and we're going to get the treatment we need there. What's challenging, though, in our traditional healthcare arena is how do we address the burgeoning crises of chronic killers today?
Okay.
And so our health retreats are unique from ordinary massage and day spa appointments and obviously from the typical medical hospital arena, because guests come for about 4 to 12 nights and they receive a tailored, holistic program designed to relieve the stress and burnout that often feed the chronic killers of our day, like heart disease, hypertension, metabolic syndrome, like diabetes, and depression, anxiety. And so we use a whole-of-person approach where qualified and compassionate staff seek to address the causes of these conditions using simple yet proven natural lifestyle therapies. For instance, like a whole food dietary cuisine, moving more in the open air and sunlight, resetting that sleep-wake cycle, otherwise referred to as our circadian rhythm. And they have specialized therapeutic options, including hydrotherapy, massage, spa, sauna, and skin treatments. And I think the key to their success has been a confidence that that these simple modalities effectively reboot that frontal lobe of our brain, and it enables guests then to maintain these choices even when they return home. It's a lifestyle approach, meaning it becomes part of how we live and then who we are. Unlike, you know, diets and fads that come and go, leaving people more desperate than ever. That's one of the major differences.
Okay, so there's an educational component there. There is a component of resetting and retuning our bodies, our organisms with the best that our natural environment can offer. And you mentioned some key word there that I really enjoyed, Andrew. You said that chronic diseases, these chronic killers, so we're talking about diabetes, obesity, depression, anxiety, all kinds of diseases that if you go to a hospital, they won't have anything to do with you. And there's only so much that a 15-minute GP appointment can do to help you there. But if you're talking about an immersive experience, you know, it's a whole different ballgame, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that's what's so unique about it.
Now, Andrew, another question that I want to ask is that retreat connected somehow with the Adventist family, either organization or with the mindset, the philosophy of life, or is this exclusive for Adventists, or is this open really to anyone? Can, let's say, a Muslim, a Buddhist, or an atheist go there and relate to what's going to be offered?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Cedarvale accepts people from all worldviews and geographic and background areas. It is a supported ministry of the Seventh Adventist Church. And that overarching worldview, I guess, of Adventists is that, you know, we're all loved and valued by God, who gave his son, Jesus, to save us from sin, disease, and death. And he not only has our eternal interests at heart, but he also wants us to live an abundant, vibrant life here and now, with a view of developing our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual domains that he created us with to serve and bless others. And so, yes, we accept folks from all walks of life. It's not a distinctive Adventist or Christian cohort that we're looking at. We want to help all people develop and renew their health. Yeah, I don't know, just you guys are probably just talking about this, but our world's a mess.
Yes.
Life is sapping our energies, and the tinsel and glitter of our jaded society, it just holds out empty vessels that leave us with this eternal ache inside. And we just believe God wants to change all that.
That's amazing. But what would you say to, so you're saying here that, one of the unique things about that is that understanding that, not only God loves everyone, but he wants us to have an abundant life. And that includes taking care of our body. Cause often I hear people from, you know, various backgrounds and they say, you know, Joseph, my health and my days are determined by God. There's nothing I can do, so that I can extend that or so that I can live better. My health is completely, destituted of relationship with my actions. You know, I don't know if you've heard people thinking like that, but I do. But the Seventh-day Adventists believe that when the Bible says that our bodies are a temple, that means that we should really look after this fine machinery here that we are all given with the greatest respect possible. So
not only you know that that we should. It's like, why wouldn't we want to? This body of ours is an amazing machine. And, you know, you mentioned there about being the temple of God's spirit. Imagine, you know, the third person of the Godhead dwelling inside of us. And it's like, I want to have a home that he feels at home in.
Yes.
And so, and it's not like he just says, well, Andrew, you know, get your act together and I'll come in and abide in you. No, he's willing to come in and help mop up the mess that I've put on this body and that I've put in my mind and I've put on my heart and these burdens I carried. He wants to clear out the hardness and the buildup of stuff and free me from that past and those practices and then show me a better way to live. It's self-evident. Once you get into it, it's really clear. It's not so much a matter of, you know, pulling yourself out of your bootstraps. Yeah, there's some hard choices to make, and we've kind of become accustomed as a society with light choices, but he can give us that strength and energy to really you know, make a change in our life for the better. And then we have a clear mind and clear eyes to see how to help other people. It's just win-win.
Yes, that's absolutely. It's really, there's a freedom that comes and a happiness that comes from having good health, isn't it? So,
that's right.
Andrew, before we close, I actually want to ask you, how can people find out more about Cedar Vale Yarra Ranges and contact you if they're interested in inquiring more about the program?
Yeah, Cedar Vale has a website called cedarvaleretreat.com.au. People can also call Yarra Ranges in Victoria at 0403-012-011. That's 0403-012-011. And there's also a New South Wales branch. They can go on the website and take a look at that there. We also have an up-and-coming 12-month training program that's going to be relocated here from the Cedar Vale New South Wales campus to Victoria in the purpose-built training center and dormitory. And another distinctive gem of this property is the organic gardens. And so we just invite people to come and take a look, have a browse around, book in for the 4, 5, or 12-night programs. We'd love to connect with you on that space. And again, just visit that webpage, cedarvaleretreat.com.au.
Fantastic. Andrew Jasper from the Cedar Vale Yarra Ranges, thank you so much for sharing with us about this amazing initiative. I hope that God bless you and your clients in the guests in that enterprise.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.